Hallelujah. We've been studying hearing God's voice, have we not? So back to 1 Corinthians 14 and 14 where we left off. And let's take this one step further. Doesn't matter whether you're Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public, apostle, prophet, teacher, preacher, evangelist, helps governments, and the prayer ministries of the diversities of tongues, does not matter. Every child of God has access directly to the Father. Every child of God has a right to hear and function in the voice of God. Every child of God. In fact, he said under the law, he said, it'll not be as it was then. Every man shall teach his neighbor through ordinances, precepts, holy days, Sabbaths, to know their God. He says, every one of you, because you'll be born again and receive His nature, shall know Him from the least to the greatest, all the way from Mary Wallpaper to the First Lady. Amen. It said that you can know Him. Can you not? Well, His voice is not just reserved for people like William Branham who are moving under the word of knowledge. Profoundly telling people's address and names. That's quite a gift in operation. His voice was not just reserved for a few preachers who call people out and minister to them through the word of knowledge. In fact, His voice is completely available to Mary Wallpaper, to the mighty apostle, in your business, in your everyday affairs, walking with Him, thoroughly available. So we have been studying hearing God's voice, and if we do not hear His voice, what we need to do to develop to hear His voice. And in studying this, we found out that He communicates with us in four different ways. And these four, just briefly, number one is the inner witness. When either else you get an inner witness, a peace inside that it is okay, or you get a what we call check in the spirit. Or we get a peace, an inner witness to go ahead. That's the most common way He communicates with His children, is an inner witness. And second, He communicates by revelation. And that is His most effective way of communication. The inner witness generally just guides you. You know, yes, no, don't do it, do it. You're about to do something you shouldn't do, or you're not doing something you should. But the major way He communicates with His children, and the most common, is by revelation, number two. That's the equivalent to encapsulating up an entire revelation on a computer chip. I mean, just pouring a whole revelation of God in a computer chip, then sending it from the Holy Spirit across to your spirit, and then releasing the program that's in it all at once. And a moment before, here you were, this little computer just sitting there, didn't know a thing, didn't have a program in you, and suddenly this chip releases this entire program on the inside, and you're going, I know everything. My God, I know everything. I wish somebody would call something up here. My God, I'm just, I know all about the mystery of healing now. I understand why they're not getting healed. I understand why I'm not getting healed, because suddenly it went off on the inside of you. And when it's by revelation, because He loves to communicate with your human spirit, which was created in His class, He can pour that entire revelation in you in a milligram of a second. I mean, just suddenly it goes both directions and you understand. And many times when I've received an entire revelation, I did it in less than a second. He just downloaded in my spirit, and it'd take me 3 months to preach out what I got. Well, folks, He just didn't reserve that kind of thing for preachers. You own a business. He can straighten your entire business out in a milligram of a second and give you what you need to do to turn $1 million over in a year. The question is, can He communicate like that with you? Do you hear Him? Well, the third basic way He communicates then is just in English, your language. You speak Spanish more than you speak English. Basically, He communicates with you in the language that you think in. So what language do you think in? Tongues? Must be, because I'm never thinking of anything. He basically communicates with you in the language that you think in. And for the longest time, as I said, when God would prophesy through me or talk to me, He always talked to me in perfect King James. Had He not, I wouldn't have believed it was Him. Good Lord would say, yea, thus saith me. Well, He'd say, thus saith the Lord. And when I'd make that statement, then more of it would come out. These days, He prophesies through me by revelation. He'll alert me that He wants to prophesy, and then He'll drop a whole revelation, and then He lets me choose my own words to explain the revelation. But previous to that, I didn't know He would communicate by revelation, so when He'd speak English to me, He'd have to do it in King James, lest I believe it was not Him. Yeah. Yeah, thus saith the Lord. Worship me, worship me, worship me. Kind of a limited prophecy, but was and as I told you, the day He broke me from that was when He asked me, He said, now son, how would a Japanese prophesy in King James? My little lotus flower. We better move on. We know He'll communicate with you in your language, the language you think in. Hallelujah. The fourth way is by vision. And for a while I mixed up the visions. I thought discerning of spirits was vision, because I saw devils one day mixed in the crowd here at the prayer center. And I thought I was having a vision. The problem was you guys were wandering around talking to each other. And I thought, what kind of vision's this? Bunch of devils hanging around him. And then I learned that that was discerning of spirits, not a vision. And so through discerning spirits, He opened my eyes. I could see into the world of the spirit, and I saw what was going on in here that would cause a service to fall dead at your feet. That I saw a principality, or it was actually a ruler of darkness, the spirit of religion over by the exit door. And He was commanding a whole host of unclean spirits, the little devils. And they were setting up a yammering atmosphere and just killing the service. So it was really something. Nevertheless, my eyes was opened that day. How a devil can kill a service. But I thought that was a vision. It wasn't. The next kind of vision is an open vision. It's when everything disappears in front of you and it's replaced by a vision. And I've had three or four of them. But then the most common vision is the one that He paints in your spirit. He'll just come in and paint a picture in your spirit. When you get used to Him doing that and know how He communicates with you and where the ear of the spirit is, you find out what channel He comes through. And when you understand how He communicates with you, it's not hard to miss it when He's given you a vision. But He will literally materialize a picture in your spirit. It's not in your mind. It's deeper than your mind. It's actually in your spirit. When He materializes it, most of the time I'm under an anointing, but I'm fully conscious looking ahead at everything, you know. I'm looking at you, then all of a sudden He'll materialize it. Now, He uses that much when I'm ministering to people by word of knowledge. I'll be standing there looking at them, and suddenly a heart will materialize with a dark valve in it. So I know that God wants to do a miracle in their heart, explicitly the valve. So I can see that. Sometimes a doctor's report will materialize in front of me, and part of the doctor's report will highlight certain things that's wrong that I know the doctor said. So at times I'll see that when I'm ministering to somebody. But that one materializes in the spirit, and usually kind of when you're under an anointing. Now, it can happen when you're not. But if you're not under an anointing, it's hard to tell the difference sometimes between the mind and the kind of pictures your mind produces and this materialization of a vision, which is deeper inside. And it's taken a lot of prayer to come to understand the difference. A lot of prayer. Sometimes I'd be witnessing to people, and all of a sudden this picture would materialize in me. It had nothing to do with what I was saying. I was trying to get them to say, you really need to get saved. Uh-huh. You know, I heard about, yeah. You need to know Jesus. Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah.
Heard about that.
Yeah. You want to? Yeah. Well, that particular time, I think that I saw the cupboards that was empty, a mattress, no blanket, no sheet, nothing. And so then when I switched over and was able to minister her condition, what I saw, that did it. That did it. Then I was able to help. Sometimes God would surprise me and show me things. A lot of time I lost my wallet. Slipped out of my pants when I unloaded the suitcase. Slipped into the suitcase and I threw it in the closet. I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked. So finally I stopped and prayed a minute. Hey, who prays first? I prayed and immediately had a vision. Saw that suitcase partly opened. Looked inside of it, and there was my wallet laying there. And I ran over and got the suitcase and opened it up and wished I'd have prayed about 3 hours before. Hallelujah. The time David lost the keys. He was telling, I lost the keys, Dad, I don't know. And I prayed. And I had a vision of them. It just materialized in me and saw them laying on top of the Coke machine. I said, hey, they're down the hall on top of the Coke machine, because he laid them up there to get to the Coke. And he went back, and sure enough, there they were. So he communicates through visions. They materialize in your spirit. And once you learn how that the Holy Spirit communicates with you, then you will develop yourself in listening for the ear of the Spirit. Well, let's take this a little bit further. People ask me all the time, what is the most qualifying thing that you need to have in your life to hear His voice? The peace of God. The peace of God. Because if you don't develop the peace, you won't even be able to hear the inner witness. And you'll be troubled all the time. How's He going to trouble you when you're already troubled all the time? How is He going to give you an inner witness of peace to go a certain direction if you're in turmoil all the time? How is He going to speak to you when you're in absolute fear over going under, over something He wants to put you over? So when you're living in the fear, how's He going to come and say, when you're totally convinced of your own destruction, how's He going to come and give you a way out of it? So one of the most powerful things that fosters hearing God's voice is for you to develop the ground of peace. Well, then we took it a little bit further. We're going to pick it back up with this verse. We took it a little bit further. We found out from 1 Corinthians 14:14, he that prays in an unknown tongue. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Medokorendus kuretua. Boranduli anstis kuribatu and tuetue. Inkudiestuti sovra boratilama. Tuklendu brihas kurenci rimentua. Locora matiantua. Hinturekia. And he said in Isaiah 28. He said, when the Holy Spirit testified, saying that this is the rest, this is the refreshing, for stammering lips and another tongue, hereby He will cause the weary to rest. For the Holy Ghost came, and the Holy Spirit was testifying that when these men were born again and the Spirit had come, that this was the rest. This was the rest that was spoken of the prophets that people need to enter into. So when he just overrode me with tongues there, he did so to say this. And when you pray much in tongues, that the rest that you received when you were born again, and received that nature, that the rest that you received when you cease from your sin, that when you pray in tongues, is the rest that He will bring forward. And when that rest dominates your whole soul, then He will be able to communicate with you on such a level that you'll do nothing but conquer the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Madokadasia. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So in 1 Corinthians 14 and 14, he says, if I, Dave Roberson, speak with an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. If I, Dave Roberson, pray in an unknown tongue, first person, if I, the Apostle Paul, first person, Dave Roberson, pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What he's saying here is this, that when I pray in an unknown tongue, it's literally my human spirit that's doing the praying. But in order for my human spirit actually be the one that's doing the praying, the Holy Spirit has to transfer that supernatural language from Himself to me. The way that He does that is creates that supernatural language on the inside of my spirit. Now follow me close. Who is it that prays in an unknown tongue? If I, Dave Roberson, pray in an unknown tongue, whose spirit prays? Whose? Whose? Now, does that S have a capitalization? Whose spirit is he talking about then? My human spirit. Then if it's really my human spirit doing the praying, then the Holy Spirit somehow had to transfer that supernatural language over to me in order for me to be the one doing the praying. Yes?
Yes.
Well, he gave me a vision to show me how he done that. And in that vision, I saw the Holy Spirit creating. It was one of those inner visions. I saw him literally bringing into existence or creating that whole language in my spiritual mind. Now, when we hear God's voice, it seems like it comes up from some kind of inner depth somewhere, some kind of tunnel, and comes up to our mind. We have enough sense to know it doesn't originate in our mind, comes up to our mind. And I always wondered, where was the well that it came up from? Simply because I wanted to find out how to uncap it and to monitor him and listen to him on purpose, just because I wanted to hear him. I know where the visions come up from. I know where his voice comes up from. And there's no more Japanese in there. For a while I thought that. No, never mind. I know where those visions explode across my mind from. See, I know where he communicates that revelation. I know where it comes up from, because all of it comes from the same place. Where, Brother Roberson? Where does it come from? It comes from the well of the place in your spirit where he creates those tongues, because he has to transfer the tongues over to you. It's your spirit doing the praying. Somehow he has to deposit the tongues in your spirit for you. Why didn't he do that? Well, it's simple. It's a transference of authority. In order for it to be your authority praying, it couldn't be the Holy Ghost praying. He had to transfer the language to you, and it is you praying and your authority, and the other members of the Godhead answers. So you got one member of the Godhead creating the prayer for you perfectly out of the mind of Christ, and you got the other two answering it. God's praying for you, God's answering it. How come you're failing? I don't think so. First, I win in peace. You first win in peace. You're thinking, well, I pray in tongues a lot, God's going to come and move everything out of my way. Yes, but most of what's in your way is you. Teach me the prayer, it changes things. What, even if you're the thing that needs change? Come on. What most of us want, and it's only normal being a little flesh creature, we want our cake. And we want to eat it too. Can't you just leave me alone, change them? So he transfers the language because you're the one that has the authority. And if it's him, he even has to have your permission to pray. And that's what you give him, because you're the one that has authority. Just 2 days ago, I had some kind of experience with God. It's one of those experiences, just a couple of days ago, and he stayed on me for an hour and a half. And I'll tell you what, it was another lesson on authority. And one of these days soon, I'll be able to tell you, because I can make you understand what he showed me. But I can tell you this much. He said, son, you must understand, this is how he closed the visitation down. He said, you're the one that has the authority here, but I'm the one that has the power.
Hallelujah.
Now, I need you, but you certainly need me. And then, before he finished visiting me, I'll tell you what I saw. Not only did I see it, but that kind of authority surfaced in me in a visitation. I wished it had stayed. It didn't. It went back. I didn't know that. So I felt high for a long time, but it went back. It surfaced. And while it was on me and my mind was pickled in it, I tell you what, nothing made any difference. White eyes. And just the pupils would just create there, and you just, none of that was out of the range of what was going on in me. No eyes. You know, twisted arms, just big around and withered and nothing. I mean, I was pickled in it for a little while. There wasn't nothing impossible. Just like he said, nothing shall be impossible to you. That's exactly the way I felt. I wished, come back! How are you? But those things are pre-visitations. They're pre-visitations. That means he just kissed me with it. It's on its way. I see. It's on its way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, look, I need your authority to even pray. But you need my power. I need the authority you have to operate on this earth. But I have the miracles. And when we trade off equally, you watch what I can do.
Hallelujah.
He said, anyway, I'm kind of tired of you weak faith. So what do you mean? You ain't got enough faith to make yourself pray. Well, his grace is sufficient. Yes, you said that right. He definitely will get you to heaven, but that's about it. Is anybody having fun? Folks, I don't have it. I live in it. I mean fun. You got it. So the Holy Spirit actually transfers that whole supernatural language to your spirit so your spirit can pray by creating that whole language on the inside of you. The entire mind of Christ is deposited in you, and the Holy Ghost has been authorized to pray the entire mind of Christ, and he still needs your authority to do so. And that's when you go,
I think I'll pray. You see, imagine my question, I bet you.
What you just did is gave heaven the authority to create that prayer in your spirit so you could pray the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, are you following me?
Yes.
Let's get back to his voice. Now, where does he create this language in your spirit? Huh?
Well, when God spoke to me.
Yeah. Where did he talk to you? I mean, where?
We spoke way down deep my spirit.
Would you please identify the proximate region? Belly button area a little higher. Maybe to the left a little bit.
The monk deep, this monk down, just jumped in my belly. And out of your belly shall flow rivers and living water.
So, I mean, where does he speak to me at? Where does he create that language? Well, he cleared that up for me. And this is over 20 years ago. In the prayer closet, I saw the outer man, the inner man. I saw the outer man that represented his flesh, the darker figure. The soul, another shade dark, lighter. Then the Spirit, absolutely light. And then the Holy Spirit. And of course, the baptism was represented in the spiritual mind that actually was habited in the natural mind. And the natural mind, of course, is in the body. But where he created that language was inside of the spiritual mind. He created it. That's why if you do not let the tongues come out of your mouth, it will bypass your mouth and drift up to your thoughts. And you can hear the tongues in your mind. They drift up from somewhere. And you say, well, where are they coming from? Well, they're drifting up from somewhere. They're drifting up. Well, it feels like they're coming way, way up from deep, deep down in my spirit. No, I know it feels like they come up somewhere from in here, but not really. They come from the recesses of your spiritual mind that lies within your physical mind. So that's where he creates that language in there. Now, when he creates that language and you're praying in tongues, you're going, Domaso de Lankiri Mandusu Mandus Karamasa. And as long as you let the language come out of your mouth, your mind is free to think of other things, such as you can read the word, you know. I've developed, when I'm praying in tongues, to read the word, you know. Sotomore Kirasa. The Morinche Parabasana Karama Sotokorenta Chike. I don't even know I'm doing it till I stop and hear myself from time to time. But people ask me all the time, can I just pray in tongues in my mind? Not really. Although you can do it, not really. Because if you do not let it finish the channel of prayer and come out of your mouth, actually I think it's a doorway that releases it from the spirit into this world. When that authority is released, that your prayers will bring things to pass in this world. Now, you finish that channel by letting it come out of your mouth. I believe that is the doorway from one world to another, is your tongue. People say, can I just pray in my mind? You can. You can. But if you do not let it come out of your mouth, eventually your mind will shift over to something else and you'll find yourself not praying. And you can't give yourself to the Word, because a lot of times when the Holy Spirit is using your spirit to pray and come out of your mouth and you give your mind or your understanding to the Word, many times the Holy Spirit will take advantage of that to impart a revelation over to your understanding. Many, many times. So no, you can't hardly pray in your mind, simply because if you don't let the circuit of prayer stop, if you don't let it stop. In fact, he said in the early church, if there be no interpreter, let the man keep silent in church, and he speak to himself and God. To speak to yourself is in a tone that nobody around you can hear. However, you are edifying yourself because you're speaking to yourself and it's coming out of your mouth. But if you pray in your mind, then you stop your mouth, it bypasses your tongue and drifts up to your mind. You can actually hear the tongues come up to your mind. But eventually, your mind will switch to something else and dismiss the tongues. But if you let it come out of your mouth, it's a flow itself, and your mind can be thinking about other things. So no, you can't really effectively just pray in your mind. You've got to finish the channel of prayer. But I said all that to say this. When you pray in tongues for a while, it opens the channel to your spirit. It actually opens the channel of the part of your spirit that God communicates to you through. In fact, those tongues He's creating in your spirit when your spirit prays them is actually the ear of the spirit, or the channel that He comes through to your mind if He's going to speak in any other language. So if you pray in tongues for a minute or two and then stop, those tongues will keep coming up from your mind. If God was talking to you in English, the English would come up exactly through the same channel the tongues comes through to your mind. This is why many times God instigated tongues for interpretation. What the tongues does is open the channel to the Spirit. And then now that the channel is open, the interpretation can come through that channel because the tongues opened it. And what follows, you know, is of God because it's coming through the Spirit. So the tongues literally opens the channel. But now, I don't need that anymore, really. I pray in tongues and things, but God just talks to me all the time. I know how to open that channel. I know how to shut down in the middle of all kinds of chaos and monitor that part of my spirit that it comes up from. I can listen to it for English. I can receive a vision from it, an inner witness, a check in the spirit, anything I need at that point. No matter what the turmoil is, I can shut down and wait for something to come through the channel of the Spirit. And you can too. And I'll tell you flat out. The only reason I can teach them these things in detail is because He taught them to me in detail. He could not have taught them to me in detail unless some channel between me and God has opened up so He can teach me in that kind of detail. So I know that channel that's opened up, see. And I'll tell you just right out. You think, well, it's quite easy. No. Most of the time, if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to create that supernatural language of tongues in you and let it come out, and you shut that down and try to monitor that for English, it becomes more difficult. But I will tell you, the more that you pray in tongues, the more consistently that you give yourself to prayer, then the stronger, the louder, and the more definite that channel becomes. The more rest that you live in, the more that you're able to shut down and monitor and listen to the voice of God. See, you're here because you're wanting to be taught in this depth. Or else you'd be down somewhere where you've chose to live. Acceptable. Good. You don't want a preacher preaching beyond acceptable if that's where you want to live.
Don't you condemn me. Don't you condemn me.
Aren't you looking for conviction? You don't want the word condemnation. Don't you mean, don't put me under conviction? Is that, wasn't that really the word you was looking for? Isn't it?
I'm going to live acceptable.
Then you got to live under a preacher who preaches acceptable. You see, the disciples, not the mother master, that he will be as his master. So you're really going to excel at least, you know, to the degree of your teacher. But if you don't want to go beyond acceptable, you have to find the preacher that stays there. Else, you live under conviction all the time. He's always preaching something you're not doing. But I would rather live with the conviction and at least know how to do something if I wanted to do it. Because you might be convicted, but you're still no different than when you first come doing nothing. All right. Let's do a little experiment. I want you all to pray in tongues for, I'll tell you when. You know, you'll start when I tell you, then I'll say, stop. And I want you to cleave that tongue to the roof of your mouth. Don't let it move anymore. And what's going to happen is when you do not let it move, those tongues are going to float right on up to your mind. You'll hear them in your mind. But what I want you to realize, that where that is coming from is the channel that he speaks English to. He gives inner witnesses, visions, and communicates by revelation. All comes from that channel that the tongues float up through. All comes. The more you pray in tongues, the more you're going to develop to listen to the ear. So why don't we just all start praying in tongues for me and pray, you know, sodang, no koran soda karache. But just give yourself over and let it flow, you know. Give your authority over and let him create the language. And once you begin now, and when I tell you to stop, then I want you to stop, cleave your tongue. And then you let it float up to your mind. At the same time, pay attention where it's coming from. Pray hard now. Pray hard. Drown your mind out. Come on, open the channel. net occurrence. Establish yourself in the channel. Morandoes kiddos, some of you are saying this is unusual. Or just because it isn't taught in this detail doesn't make it unusual. A lot of people know how to operate in it. They just don't know how they know how to operate in it. Miro morin karaya suria koran. Don't you stop now. Miro hariato esada boando bodaka. Now close your eyes. No distractions. Now remember, when I tell you to stop, you're going to cleave your tongue, you're going to stop, and you're going to wait, and that language is going to continue to come up for your mind for a moment or two. And you will, at that point, identify the channel he comes through your spirit on. That's why he says, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. When you pray in tongues, you put yourself in the spirit because you open the channel to another world. You've opened the channel to the spirit, not only your own human spirit, but you're in contact with the Holy Spirit directly. So go on, pray for a moment. He says, in the spirit, this man speaketh mysteries. When you hit a crisis, you need to put yourself in the spirit. Open the channel. Go ahead, stop. Just identifying the voice, the channel of God. You're just identifying where He communicates with you, where that channel is that He comes through, where He deposits things in your mind, where He communicates by revelation. That's where it comes from. It comes up to your surface mind from somewhere in there. And that is from the recesses of your spiritual mind where He communicates with you. That's where it floats up. Nevertheless, how many heard those tongues come on up into your mind? At the moment your mind switched anywhere else for a half a second, did you notice how it would cut them off? You'd have to pay attention and give yourself back over and the channel would open and it'd start coming again. Well, that's the channel where everything comes through. Hallelujah. Yes. When you go down that channel, you'll find the Holy Ghost living there. He said, hey, did you come to visit me? He said, man, were you going to unlock me or what? You going to let me out? All right, let's look at this verse closely now. Hallelujah, Jesus. At 14th verse, very closely, 1 Corinthians 14:14. He says, if I, Dave Roberson, pray in an unknown tongue, notice this, whose spirit? That's right. My human spirit is doing the praying. He had to transfer it from his to mine. That's that channel. For if I, Dave Roberson, pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, my understanding at that point is unfruitful. I have to learn how to operate in a public assembly. If them tongues are going to come from that channel, they need to be interpreted, which equals prophecy, which basically is what he was teaching on. And folks, see, when you pray and pray and pray the mysteries of God, you know, last prayer day, when you folks gathered here, and I got off the plane about 2 o'clock and came on down, and I think I began to teach. Now I got off about 12:30, I think, 1:30, I don't know. Anyway, by the time I got here, I think it was 2:30, and came out here and began to teach a lesson on the authority that rests in the new creation and the rest that rests there. See, in that new nature that you received, the absolute phenomenal took place. That new nature you received when you received a regenerated spirit was when you were separated from the Old Testament saints. What they did not have and would have killed to have was a nature that actually had a capacity to understand spiritual things. In fact, he said the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is the mind that they had under the law. They said that was enmity against God. And he says, because the things of God are spiritually discerned, meaning they cannot be understood outside of being spiritually discerned. When you were born again and received the nature of God, the most important thing that you received was a capacity to understand spiritual things. This is why heaven sent you, the teacher of all teachers, to come and make sure that you would come forward in the discerning and the wisdom and the understanding of everything that God is. Now, can you follow me? The more of those mysteries that you pray in tongues, for he that speaks in the unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto G-A-W-D, God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, this man is speaking mysteries. What mysteries? What mysteries? The mystery that was hid in God on the other side of spiritual death. But now that we've been born again, is made available to the church. The mystery of Christ in you, to you, and through you. Now we're getting personal. Amen. The hope of glory. Yeah. Not only does that mind of Christ that he prays through tongues include all the understanding of the mysteries, the Word of God, but it also, in your baptism, the mind of Christ includes the personal ministry and calling. You can't spend an hour praying in tongues if the Holy Ghost is not working on the personal mind of God. Then we can know all things work together for the good of them who love God and call to his purpose. Because 13 verse before that said, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. That doesn't sound like that's working for your good. See, but now, that you're praying these mysteries, you've opened the channel. What the Old Testament saints would have killed for, you got. What did he say concerning John? What did you go into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A king dressed in soft clothing? What? He said much more. He says concerning women, there's never born of a woman a greater prophet than John. I said, how could that be? No miracles? Well, I thought Elisha was great, didn't you? Raising the dead, flying around in a chariot. It's pretty good stuff. Stopping armies with angels. He's okay. But he said that John was greater. Why? He did no miracles. All he did was eat wild locusts and honey and run around and repent. And if you think he picked them big long bugs up and bit their heads off and dipped them in honey, he was talking about a plant. A locust plant. Why would he say that? Because of all the old prophets, none of them had more knowledge of Christ than this man. And God born him and chose him to be the forerunner, to preach that he is coming, who's preferred before me, whose latches on his sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and unbuckle it. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire because you're going to receive a new nature. People are killed for it. He said, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Least in the kingdom, greater than he. Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public, he's greater than the greatest prophet of the old. Why? Because they were not born again. Did not have access to the nature of God. Baptism of the Holy Spirit and access unlimited to God. And you do, you tongue-talking, praying son of a gun. I've got a teacher. My channel's open. He's going to teach me how to go all the way in. Now, people, as he brings that new nature, the real you forward, now he goes way down in there below all the trash and the soul and the flesh, leaves that all just sick, bypasses it, and he deposits himself in your spirit, in the power plant. And the Holy Ghost says, I'm going to teach this man, and I'm going to work on that new nature. I'm going to teach him his authority. And then as the authority of that new man comes forward, he's going to make the soul realm look like it was run over by a Mack truck if it gets in the way. He'll make the flesh wish that it really would have died, in suggesting mortification. By golly, by the time he's done, everything that usually stops men will look like it's in the wake of the Titanic. I'm going to bring the real him forward with all the authority that he has. I'm going to teach him about it because that's what he wants me to teach him. So I'm going to teach. He keeps praying in tongues, so he must want me to teach him. I'm going to teach him all about his authority. I have the power. He has the authority. And when we get done, white eyes are going to see.
Hallelujah.
Well, the real you has got to come forward. I would bring that part of you forward, the real you. Because in the Spirit, he said, there's neither male nor female. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at something that Paul did just before we close here. How many knows in opening that channel that God communicated with him by revelation probably more than any man alive after Jesus? I don't know anybody. Look who wrote most of the books of the New Testament, just as Moses. Look at this. Yeah, he made this statement in one of his books. I thank my God that I speak, that I pray with tongues more than you all. Now, wait a minute. Probatum, let's get all the Corinthians and line them up. Hello, Father Corinthian. How much you pray? And think, oh, you've been on the way to work on my camel. Okay. Hey, Mom. Honey, well, when I get that big old boat paddle and I'm pulling the bread out of the oven, I've been up to your worst tomorrow. Oh, really? Hey, little ones, how much do you pray in tongues? Okay. Interviewing every Corinthian, he could boast. I thank my God. I pray more in the supernatural language that encompasses the understandings of the mysteries of Christ than any man alive. And therefore, he has answered them, and I wrote them down.
Hallelujah.
So what do you think you're praying when you're praying in tongues?
You're picking them up.
He wrote them down. You pick them up. Of course, he had that special program with the original Greek in his computer, and he had a Bible to go to all the time, so he had it a whole lot easier than you do. Hallelujah. All right. Let's look at what Paul said here. And then we'll close. 14th chapter. Let's back up. How about the 16th verse, talking about divine order and tongues in the service. He says, out on 16th verse, 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned, which was at the meals and things, they fed a lot of the poor. How shall he say, Amen, when he has no idea what you said? Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at the giving of thanks, seeing that he didn't understand a thing you said? But Paul went on to say, but look, thou verily, you give thanks very well, you know, before God, you really gave thanks well. But did he get edified? No, not unless it was interpreted. Then he switches to his own personal prayer life. Now in 18, he's saying, now look, this is where this kind of activity belongs, in your own personal prayer life. And you know, Paul, he didn't really brag about himself too much. If he did any bragging, it was his infirmities, you know. That was the opposition that the devil brought against him and his flesh and circumstances. He says, ha ha! I'll go through all of it. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong.
Amen.
But here he made a real positive comment here. And he talked about something about his personal prayer life. Are you ready for this? He said, I thank my God. He was thanking and worshiping God for this. That self-exalted little thing, he was worshiping God because he prayed in tongues more than anybody. I thank my God, he said. I speak with tongues more than you all.
Well, how do you know it was at home and on his camel in between meetings?
Because of the next verse, yet in church. Yet in church. So here we got a little bit of glimpse of Paul's personal prayer life. Isn't it incredible? Isn't it incredible, people? Now he says, yet in church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, whichever it might have been, King James, Arabic, Hebrew, Greek. He probably spoke in King James, wouldn't you think? Yet in church, I would rather speak five words in my understanding, in my Arabic, Greek, Hebrew, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in the unknown tongue. Brother, he says, look, be not children in understanding. If you want to be children in something, how about when you get in big fights with each other? See, how be it in malice, be you children. Now, what's he saying here? He says, and the unlearned is sitting there, and you're having a meal, and you're feeding the poor, and one guy jumps up. Brother Camel, would you bless the food players?
Oh, boom, I sold them, and I bought them and missed them.
And they say, thank you. And somebody says, well, didn't they read the Bible? What was being written? Eventually, they got Paul's letter. What did he say?
Brother Camel, give thanks.
Thank you very much. Nobody knew the difference until Paul wrote him a letter. Straightened him out. He said, look, this guy's giving thanks well. Now, let me talk about our private prayer life. I thank God I pray more in these mysteries than any of you. But he says, in church, I would rather speak five words in my own understanding that others might understand. The key word here is also, A-L-S-O. He said, now in my own private life, I pray more than all of you in this tongue that you've messed up so bad. You're using it when it should be used the least to ruin a service. You're not using it when it should be used the most in your private prayer life. He said, because in church, I would rather speak five words in my own understanding that I might teach others. The key word is what? Also that they might receive edifying too. Now, why would he say something like that? And he said, then 10,000 words in the unknown tongue. He said, to benefit you, it would benefit you better if we come together for a public service with the unlearned and everything to speak only five words. You know, Jesus can save you. Save you now. He says, then 10,000 words in the unknown tongue. Why? Because it's your edification that's taking place. God's edifying you. And the other people are just standing by. Well, it's nice that you're getting edified. He says, then 10,000 words in the unknown tongue. I said, help me understand this, God. Why did you say 10,000 words in the unknown tongue? And he's so gentle. When I ask him a question, there's no use not opening that channel up. You know, go, God, why'd you say 10,000 words? And he just said a couple of things to me. He said, time it. And you'll understand, time it, how long it takes you to pray 10,000 words. So I did. You know, like a jogger. you run for about 2 or 3 minutes or something, then you grab you go, then you count it, and you multiply. So that's how I did it, because I didn't want to count 10,000. So might who could I sadik in my in a match. I'm praying at normal speed, like I think the Apostle Paul would, you know, when he's traveling.
Oh, Sula Bahusuman. Here my Damasula Husman. Here my
actually Apostle Paul's the short, kind of frail man, balding head, hooked nose. What he lacked in stature, he said he'd make it of these ferocious faith. Actually, he was kind of puny, is what I understand. So he said, time it. How long does it take you? So I prayed. Somebody asked me the other day, if I pray faster in tongues, will I get more prayed? Yeah. Say twice as many mysteries, and he'll answer them. Yeah, he will. And somebody asked, can I pray on a tape and then play it? Well, what do you think, that God says the same thing all the time? I mean, since you don't understand it anyway, what good does it do? It's what you're praying. That was already spoken. God doesn't need to receive that mystery three or four all night long. He got it the first time. I've been asked that. In fact, they didn't ask me. They were doing it. They said, I just found out how to edify. Anyway, been asked crazy, can you pray twice as fast? I'll tell you what, how fast you need to pray.
But I'd get twice as much done, wouldn't I?
Yeah, you would, but let me tell you something. If you pray out of your speed, it's going to take all the mental energy you had to keep it up. Where you want to learn to pray is the niche that you settle down in and the speed that it flows automatically. So anyway, I timed it, you know. And how many I could pray in 1 minute. Of course, when you get your heart, you do 10 seconds or something. But anyway, so I just, wait a minute, I'm praying on it. Merakadma sariantoma. Charaburjintuske. Lansura karana counted along and I found out that 10,000 words is just under 2 hours, sometime between an hour and a half and an hour and 45 minutes. So this is what he was saying. He was said, I would rather speak 5 words in English than the 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, that others may understand also. And that word also meant that when he prayed the 10,000 words in the unknown tongue, he received a revelation. But if they're also going to be edified from his revelation, he had to come in and give it to them in English. So what he prayed up before God was a mystery in those 10,000 words. But in order for them to be benefited from it, then he had to give them the revelation of the 10,000 words that others might be edified as he was also. So what he was saying is you need to do your praying basically at home. I mean, we can meet together and pray because that's what we designated. That's what we come for. We can come together and pray in tongues all day like we have been doing. And that's acceptable because that's what we come together for. We didn't collect a bunch of lost people in with us basically on that prayer day and minister, you know, to them or word and things. We came together to pray. And there is a difference. See, what he was saying is, I myself received something from praying the mysteries of 10,000 words. But if you're going to be blessed from that also, then I can't go in front of you and speak to 10,000 words for a service time of an hour and a half. I have to give you the revelation that came from the tongues. Hallelujah. So that's what he was saying. Glory be to God forever. So go on. Open that channel. And the first thing he'll teach you how he communicates with you is by revelation. That'll be your first strong teaching that he will give you. Personally, the Holy Spirit. The inner witness you're familiar with somewhat. But this great teaching will begin to come forward. That he'll start bringing great revelation across that channel. Some of your old teachers won't be quite as good as you thought they were in about a year. So.
You think it, my God. They're not teaching like they used to. No, no, they're the same. It's you. Hallelujah. Well, why don't we stand up and worship God a little while, huh?